and welcome to Make Audio. I'm Philip Tarone, Associate Editor of Make Magazine. And for the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be talking with Derek Story, who name might sound familiar. He's the Managing Editor of O'Reilly Network, Mac Dev Center, O'Reilly Digital Media, and he's been in photography for years and years and years, and he just knows so much about digital photography. So when I had a chance to talk to him at the campus, I took him up on the offer to ask him a few questions, things that I thought were interesting. Other things that Derek has been up to, digital photography hacks, digital photography pocket guide, second edition, and all sorts of PowerBook and iBook fan books, and also co-authored iPhoto, The Missing Manual. So we talk about a lot of stuff, including how to select a digital camera, what to look for, and some of the trends and new things that's coming up in digital photography. So I hope you like it. It was a fun interview, and he's just a knowledgeable guy that if you're ever thinking about doing anything in digital photography, definitely have a listen. And here we go. All right, I'm here with
Derek Story.
And Derek, can you tell me a little bit about what you're up to with photography?
Well, photography is happening right now. It's really exciting stuff. I just got back from the Photo Marketing Association show in Orlando, so I got to see kind of what, at least from the manufacturer's point of view, what 2005 is going to look like. And I'm working on a couple books right now, so it's I'm very immersed in the subject.
Well, I definitely want to know about what's coming up, but first, can you tell me some things, some tips and some things that people can do to just make their photos great?
Oh, sure. You know, actually, there's quite a bit. I think people, generally speaking, underestimate how powerful those little compact cameras are, and they're very sophisticated. And I noticed a couple things that people do you know, where they're underutilizing the camera, and one of them has to do with lighting and the flash. So a lot of times when you're taking outdoor pictures, a trick that wedding photographers and portrait photographers do is that they turn on the flash. And it's sort of counterintuitive, right? Because you're thinking, outdoors, daylight, I don't need the flash. But actually, most of the time, lighting outdoors, especially for taking people pictures, is the light's coming from the wrong direction. It's not flattering. And the most flattering light, as your mom will tell you, if she's ever had her picture taken in the wrong lighting, is directly right at you, because a light coming in from the front, it softens wrinkles, it softens textures, and it usually makes people look pretty good. So, you know, number one tip is find that flash mode dial on your camera, and when you're taking pictures outdoors, get within like 8 feet or closer, and turn on the flash. And your camera will take care of everything else. It'll balance the background. It'll make everything else look great. Darn smart. And compare those pictures to some shots you took without the flash and see what you think.
Great. And in terms of composition, do you have any tips for people? Where to put objects, how close to get for portraits, things along that?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite composition tips came from an instructor, actually. And he said, you know, first thing you do is when you're composing a shot is get closer. And then when you think you're close enough, get closer again. And that's really an important tip. I think people tend, especially Americans, I think Americans are notoriously bad at this because we require so much space in between us personally. So we tend to stand back too far. And, you know, the best zoom lens in the world, you know, really are your feet. And so get closer, compose tightly, and you'll be surprised. Your shots will be a lot more dramatic. This is true for portraits and for landscape and for all sorts of stuff. Now, you can take an establishing shot, right, you know, that has a whole overview, but that's where most people stop. You know, take the establishing shot, you know, that shows the big picture, and then take a couple more shots by getting in tighter. And then you can mix and match as you put together your digital slideshows or make your prints or whatever you do. But getting close is a real big deal in composition.
So in terms of software for photos, you know, you wrote iPhoto, The Missing Manual. Do you think that's one of the best tools out there for navigating lots of photos and quick editing for folks?
Well, now that iPhoto 5 is out, yes. Yes, iPhoto 5 is fabulous. I'm working on the book right now with David Pogue, is the principal author, and then I kick in a bunch of chapters too. We're working on it together. But iPhoto 5, the version that just came out, you know, this is a Mac OS 10 application. It's strong. It's really strong. Not only is it a good digital shoebox, but it accepts now almost all the files that your digital camera produces. You know, and digital cameras are really digital input devices, right? And the problem with iPhoto in the past, in my opinion, was it only takes some of the things that the camera could capture. But now that it captures MPEG and .movs, so your little videos can go in there, and little videos are like one of the most underused part of digital cameras. And when we talk a little bit about what's coming down the pike, I want to talk about digital video on a still camera a bit. But it also takes raw files. And then not only that, you can edit them right there in the application, and it just streamlines the workflow tremendously. So that's a great app. I have a couple other ones too, though, for folks that there's a cross-platform app that I think has a kind of a cult following and is very good, called iView Media Pro, and small I, capital View, Media Pro. These guys have been around for a long time. They started on the Mac. Now they have both Mac and PC versions. Very strong application for organizing, retrieving your images. It also can handle QuickTime. They were doing it long before iPhoto ever incorporated. They do a great job. It's relatively affordable. It costs about twice as much as the iLife Suite, maybe a little bit more. But if you're really serious and have a lot of images to deal with, I'd take a look at them too.
And as far as cameras that you recommend on, you know, the mid-range, what's a good brand or a good series of cameras that you often recommend?
Boy, you know, that answer was easier a little.
everyone makes cameras now, right?
Yeah, well, not only does everyone make cameras now, most of the people making them are doing a darn good job of it. The cameras that I like a lot right now, I like Canon a lot, in part because I like their user interface. And for me, that's a big part of it. The lenses on most cameras are good now. I mean, even manufacturers who had great electronics before but not so good lenses, Casio is an example, and Kodak is another one, now have continue to refine their electronics and then are using lenses produced by people that make great lenses. So even those cameras now are fabulous. But I like Canon a lot, especially in the pocket cameras, because their user interface is terrific. It's very easy to use, and you guess right most of the time. But there are some very strong contenders in all the big names. Nikon is doing a good job with their compacts. Kodak has announced the EasyShare 1, which will be out here in a couple of months, a 4-megapixel camera that has built-in 802.11. But it's a great camera all the way around. I think one thing to look for, though, right now, if you're shopping, is look for a camera with a big LCD on the back. This is one of the new trends, and they totally enhance the experience. They make a digital photography so much more fun when you have a 2-inch or 3-inch LCD on the back. And you know what we're seeing now is that digital cameras aren't only input devices, but they're also storage and retrieval and display devices. And look at the user interface, look at the specs, see how it feels in your hand, and check out those big screens. They're really good.
So what's about to happen in 2005 that got you excited at this conference?
Lots of good stuff. Big LCD screens right away. I mean, for me, that changes everything because I'm on the road a lot. I love to shoot, and then I love to go and have a bite to eat or a cup of coffee and look at my pictures. And boy, looking at them on a 2 or 3 inch screen just makes the whole experience a lot more fun. And for some people who really aren't big computer folks, now obviously that's not going to be the case of the make audience. But if your mom or your dad or your aunt ask you for a recommendation, these cameras with the big LCD screens, and now because you can direct print to these little printers without a computer, suddenly you can enjoy digital photography without a computer. And this is something that's great to keep in mind when you're recommending cameras. Another thing I'm really excited about is that digital cameras are becoming very good at capturing video. This is a convergence of a lot of things. One is the price coming down on flash media is helping a lot. You can get 1 gigabyte cards now for, you know, $60-$70 and on up, you know, to Secure Digital, and get two gigabyte cards. They'll be coming down, you know, quite a bit here. So suddenly you can cram a lot of information on these little cards, and then the compression is getting a lot better so that they can you can compress these video files down without a lot of loss. And then the other thing is you can record at 640 by 480 at 30 frames per second in stereo sound, and it looks fabulous. So suddenly you only have to carry around one device. You can record video when needed, shoot stills the rest of the time, and it looks wonderful. And then it all, you know, all sucks into your digital shoebox, whether you're using iView or iPhoto or whatever you happen to use. And I think some situations video is more appropriate than still photography. I'm primarily a still photographer, but there are times when I'm really glad I have the ability to shoot video too, because for certain things, like a toast at a wedding reception, there's nothing like 30 seconds of great video.
Right. So earlier, Apple announced that they're going to have a cable and some software inside of their iPods called Photo Connect, I think, that you'll be able to hook up your camera to an iPod. Do you think that's going to be useful for photographers, being able to offload all of their photos to a storage device like an iPod and then taking it into, you know, iPhoto or whatever? Do you think that's something that'll be useful?
Yes. Actually, photographers are begging for it. And I think when the iPod Photo came out, photographers, generally speaking, were disappointed with it.
Yeah, I have one right now, yeah. and I can't do what I thought I was going to be able to do initially.
Exactly. I mean, the logical thing has been, you know, especially in the last year or so, is to have a portable device, a hard drive device, that you can put pictures to directly from your camera. And iPod Photo, it allows you to do that, but in a very cumbersome way. You have to put a Belkin device in between that's slow and has its own power requirements and yada, yada, yada. Not so good. So I think that the easier that Apple can make it to move pictures from the camera to the iPod, the more happy photographers will be. And, you know, there's other people that are working on this and doing a very good job. I mean, I think the leader right now is Epson, with the Epson P2000, I believe. And this is a very strong device, has a 20 or 40 gigabyte hard drive in it, has a beautiful screen, just absolutely drop-dead stunning screen. It can import RAW files in addition to your JPEGs. And you can do other things. You can put together slideshows and show them right on the viewer. You can store MP3 music, although it doesn't do a very good job of helping you organize or play it back. But it's a nice device. So if Apple doesn't do it correctly, someone else will. And it's something that I think photographers really want, especially when you're on the road. You know, and you know, the thing is, you know, taking your laptop on the road is great if you're working, but if you're on vacation, laptops are bad because they tend to keep you in work mode. So a device like this that allowed you to offload your pictures and stay in vacation mode, I think, is a very good thing.
All right. Well, if someone wants to find out more resources of taking photographs and find stuff online and books, what are some of the things that you can recommend to them?
Yeah, well, obviously I'm going to start with the O'Reilly sites because we do a little bit of stuff here around that. The O'Reilly digital media sites, terrific sites, is relatively new, and we have both photography and audio, but we also have digital video and digital TV stuff, and that's the HTTP /digitalmedia.oreilly.com. Digital media, all one word, .oreilly.com. Great site. There's a couple other sites, so that if you're really craving more photography information, and two of my favorites are DP Review, very good site, and I think the reporting is solid. You can look these up via Google. Another one is imagingresource.com, and then there's a I think DP Blog, digital photography blog, that's also really quite good. And I think they're out of Australia, I believe, and they do a great job. So there's some other resources there for if you just, you know, can't get enough of what's going on in digital media, these sites will keep you happy.
All right, and last up, what camera do you use primarily? Got to know what dog food you're eating.
I'll tell you. Okay, well, first of all, no one camera can, you know, is going to do it for me. But in the compact range right now, I have two cameras I really like. I'm going to give you two in each range.
Okay.
All right, two compacts, two what I call advanced amateurs, which are the midsize, and then I'll give you one SLR. In the compact, there are two cameras I like a lot right now. I like the Canon Digital Elf. But I like the little bigger one, the S500, because the battery lasts longer. And then their little secure digital ones are good, but the battery peters out a little too fast for me. And then there's another one I like a lot is a Contax, believe it or not, which is a brand a lot of people don't know about. They're actually owned by Kyocera, and they have a little twist camera that's a 4-megapixel camera that just has absolutely fabulous electronics and a Zeiss lens on it, and it's a SL400R, and this is a beautiful little camera that fits in your top shirt pocket, and really if you like fine contacts equipment, you'll love this camera. In the medium range, a camera that turned my head at the PMA show is the new Casio EX510, I believe. It's a midsize. It still fits in the palm of your hand, but it's a little bit bigger than the shirt pocket cameras. 5-megapixel camera, shoots the best looking MPEG video I've seen for a still camera. Absolutely gorgeous. Has a screen that comes out and rotates. Has really great Casio electronics. Battery life that is outstanding in it. It's a beautiful 5-megapixel camera, and you can get it for around $450. Just came out, brand new. And then I also like, I use an Olympus, also an older one, with the best camera I think they made, a C5050, which is actually accepts three different types of memory cards and has a f1.8 zoom lens, which you don't see very much anymore. And then at the high end, I'm still shooting with a Canon 10D. I'd like to upgrade to the 20D, but the 10D is doing such a good job for me that I think I'll stick with it and sit out this round and see what they come up with next.
All right, well, great. Thank you so much.
Hey, great being on, and happy making.
This has been another Make Audio broadcast by Make Magazine. To subscribe to Make Magazine, to pick up a copy, to find out more about us, look at the blog and all those things, go to makezine.com.